Well, it probably won't be quite as ripply as it was last week. Whew. I tell you what, this stuff in your head, just thinking makes it hurt, doesn't it? Amen. But thank God I am alive. Hallelujah. And the Lord has blessed us and helped us to be able to be in the house of God. What a blessing it is to be able to be saved and be in the house of the Lord. Now, a lot of folks don't have that opportunity today. A lot of folks are to the point they're in nursing homes or house-ridden where they can't get out and get to the house of God for whatever reason, maybe temporary or maybe permanent. But I thank God He's given us the ability to get to the house of God this morning. 1 Corinthians and chapter number 13. And we'll be right back in our text that we've been dealing with on Christian charity. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. And appreciate that good song. So bravely run the race. And you know, many times we get our eyes off of the Lord. And I say that including me, or maybe just referencing me only. Maybe you don't. But sometimes I get my eyes off the Lord and get to looking at things around me. And that's when we get discouraged and get in despair. And, you know, begin to allow things to bother us that shouldn't bother us. And, you know, and again, most of my problem this morning is in my head. I always tell my wife, whenever she says something about being sick or something, I say, well, it's just in your head. Well, this morning it's just in my head. Amen. So I ask you to pray for us that the Lord will help us. Amen. To get over this junk. I know there will be an end to it sometime or another. And I'm waiting for that day, Brother Hall just spoke of, that there will be no more sickness, no more pain, no more death. Amen. And no more tears. Thank God there is a day of coming. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, and we will be referencing Hebrews chapter number 12 as well this morning for the main thought. But 1 Corinthians 13, and for sake of time this morning, let's just read the one verse of Scripture, if we may, in verse number 7. 1 Corinthians 13, 7, referring to charity. The Bible said that beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And I'm glad that charity does these things. Amen. And it did say all. And, you know, when we come to a place that charity takes over in our life, and again, I reference the fact that that's not just charitable giving, contributions, but that's allowing God, His love, to take control of our lives. The Bible said that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts and that we shouldn't be ashamed of that hope that's been placed in us by the love of God. And we ought to let the love of God shine forth unto those about us. That's the saved and sinner alike. You know, people that are around us that know the Lord are to see the zeal and that we have for the Lord, the labor that we do, and that it is for the Lord. And those that are lost, that we come in contact with day in and day out, they ought to see something different in us, and that difference is the love of God, that God has put in our heart to live for Him and do right, amen, by Him. And I'm seeing more and more every day that I live now that the things that come into my life that the Lord shows me that they are wrong, it's those things that grieve me, not because He chastens me, but because I have offended Him. You know, when my children do things now that hurt me, not physically, but mentally, you know, and in my heart, when they do things that hurt me, when they know I've taught them better, and I've tried to live in front of them better, and they do those things that hurt me that away, it's a whole lot worse than what it would be if they just come up and kick me or slap me or whatever. And those hurts, they don't easily go away. And I see that they obey me because they fear me when they're in my presence. But they don't obey me out of love all the time. And our obedience ought to be out of love to God. And we shouldn't want to do things that offend a holy and righteous God because we love Him. Now, we know we love Him because He first loved us. Amen. So let me quickly, I do need to hurry here along, but let me quickly bring a recap to you about last time's lesson in dealing with the fact of endureth all things. Charity endureth all things. And that word endure means to abide, take patiently, suffer. And we dealt with the thought of how enduring all things, and I used reference in Hebrews 12, we'll go over there, or 2 Timothy 4, actually, last time, where Paul is in that battle. He said, I have fought a good fight, I have kept finished my course, I have kept the faith. And he's dealing with those things, and I talked with how charity, that charity in our life, will help us to endure all things. And if we're going to endure all things, that means we're going to have to fight a good fight. And I went through some steps there that you're going to have to enlist or be saved and then get involved. Your training, the call to battle, the armor that we fight, you know, having that armor, that protection about us, and then the separation unto that battle. You know, there's different battles. And I want to say something that I felt like the Lord impressed upon me, and I might deal with a little bit more in the lesson today, but I was reading again last night, yesterday, and then this morning on this particular thoughts. And, you know, our Christian race, we talk about it being like a long-distance race, and it is. I mean, it's not something that we run for like a 50-yard dash, and then it's over. But I've come to the conclusion that in the long race, that there's many short races. In other words, there's times probably in your life that you're going to run that quick race and you're going to do good and, you know, receive the prize, but then you turn right around and get up the next day and you're involved in a different race. Not a different race, spiritually speaking, as far as for Christ, but you're in a different race in your life. In other words, another obstacle has come your way. Another pathway has come, and I'm not talking about getting out of sorts with God. I'm talking about there is a different part of that race that we're going to have to run. And in running that race, amen, there is a course, there is a finish line, and sometimes I think that we run one race and we accomplish it, like I've heard Brother Hall preach and other preachers preach, you know, God deal with them about something in their life, and they run that race, they get rid of that, or they begin to accomplish that ministry that is in their life, and then they think that basically they've arrived. And I know that that's not maybe a way of trying to be proudful, but they think, well, you know, well, we got this done. But then the next day it starts another race, amen, another place in your life that you must continue on for the cause of Christ. It's one continuous race, but there's many little races maybe in it, if I can put it that way. And so if the Lord be our helper this morning, we're going to deal with the fact of not only the fact that Christian charity will help you to endure, to fight a good fight, but it will help you finish your course. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the blessings of God. We thank you for what you're doing, what you're going to do in our hearts and our lives. I do thank you for our pastor being back with us today in the house of the Lord. I pray that you touch him, help him, strengthen him, Lord, in his physical body, his mind, and most of all spiritually. Lord, that you put the words upon his heart that you would desire for us to hear. Give us the help that we need. Help us to take heed to it, Lord, and apply it in our life. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for that now. Touching the sickness that's going throughout the church, I pray, God, that you touch the people's bodies and their lives and help us, Lord, in a special way there. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Dealing with the thought of finishing the course. As I already said, I'm not going to take time to go there and reread those scriptures, but in 2 Timothy 4, the Bible said that Paul wrote, he said, I have finished my course. Amen. He fought a good fight, but he said, I have finished my course. Now, no doubt the Lord had revealed to him that this was it. He was coming down to the end of his life right here. He would not go on any further. There'd not be another missionary journey. There'd not be another book or letter, epistle to the churches that he would write. And, you know, and it's come down to the end of his life. What are you saying, preacher? Well, I think the Lord will let us know that. I think the Lord will give us some insight to that fact, and not necessarily the day, but that the time is drawing nigh. And Paul was close enough to the Lord that he said, I know that I finished my course. He said, I've been fighting a good fight all these days, but the time has come now that I have finished my course. And I have kept the faith. But I want to say to you that not only had he kept the faith during all that time, but we see a battle, an opposition that faced him there in 2 Timothy 4, that he had to also, if you please, keep the faith in before he passed on out of this life. And, of course, he referred to that with Timothy there, talking about how Demas had forsaken him and how Alexander the coppersmith had opposed him and rebelled against him and withstood his words and tried to do him harm. And so Paul went out of this life knowing and believing, according to the end of the scriptures there, that the Lord was standing with him and would deliver him. Amen. And we can do that as well. And I thank God for it. But in the book of Hebrews, in chapter number 12, now I want to deal with this thought of finishing the course and how we finish this course and what helps us to finish this course right. I want to say, number one, in Hebrews 12 and verse number 1, the Bible said, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." I want to say, first of all, this morning, that we finish the course. You know, you're not going to start out in a race, and I really ain't got the time to go back and detail all that out. I preach a message pertaining to that. There are some things that you got to get ready for to run a race. Amen. And just quickly this morning, let me say the things that are listed in our text. But he said you're going to have to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset you. And I put here, for sake of alliteration, if you want to write it down, but finish the course with purification. You know, the Bible talks about how we are to purify ourselves even as he is pure. And he is our prime example. Amen. And, of course, the scriptures, even in our text, and I'm not going to take the time to go down and deal with each one of these verses right now, but in our text we find that he even tells us that we ought to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and goes on and talks about what he endured and how he endured it for our sakes. Amen. And he said, "Lest you be wearied in your minds." And I'll get to all that on the next lesson, Lord being our helper. But the Bible said here that we ought to finish the course, and I believe that is with purification from weights and sin. Those weights, I mean different things in our life. You know, a runner don't go out there dressed in insulated coveralls, amen, knee boots, work boots, amen, and carrying a backpack. And, you know, and all those things that he thinks that he might would need to help along that race. No, a runner goes out there, and, you know, and I know that they don't dress accordingly, and I'm not saying that we're supposed to take our clothes off, amen. But they go out there weighing the least amount that they possibly can so that they can run that much longer and that much faster. Sometimes you might can run pretty fast, but you throw another 30, 40 pounds on your back, you might not run as fast. You throw another 50, 60 pounds on your back, you might not run at all. There's different things that can weigh you down. And those weights, I don't believe, according to the scripture, Brother Hall, if he disapproves of this, he can make the statement, and I'll apologize for it. But I don't believe those weights here necessarily are sin, because he said, "and the sin." He differentiates there to me in the scripture that there's some weights. In other words, that'll slow us down in our race, but there's also a sin that will beset us in this race. And so those weights might slow you down. You might have a little too much weight on. You might be caring a little bit too much about things in this life. And I know the Apostle Paul talks about when he's dealing with marriage in 1 Corinthians 7, I know he's talking about how it'd be better for men not to have a wife if they would receive that calling of the Lord, and that is a special call from God. Not every man can receive that. You read your Bible, it tells you about it. But he said if a man has a wife, then he's going to have to care for the things of that wife and have some care for the things going on in the world. Not in the sense of being worldly and not serving God, but there's some responsibilities in being married and having children. Amen. Paul didn't have that responsibility. Paul was able to get up and go, amen, for God, whenever the Lord called and told him to go. And he didn't have to worry about making sure his wife was taken care of, his children was taken care of, and their protection. And therefore, he was able to just get up and go and provide for himself and go on. And, you know, that's another different message in its entirety. But those wives, and I'm not saying that in a disrespectful way, because the Bible said, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And but sometimes a wife might slow you down. Amen. There's extra weight there. And sometimes children might slow you down. And I began to think about this, and I'm not saying I'm totally right, but I began to think about this and meditate upon it Friday and Saturday and this morning as well, about how it seems like to me, younger men of God, and I don't say that boasting on myself, you know, but we have a wife, we have children, and sometimes we allow things maybe to not cause us to be 100% dedicated as we ought to be. But then you find older men of God, and I don't say this wrong, but you find older men of God, such as Brother Hall, Dr. Green, you know, some others that I could name this morning, I won't name, but their children are gone from home. Amen. They got their wife there, and their wife is in the servitude of God, and they're trying to be wholehearted and definitely 100% dedicated unto the things of the Lord. They don't have maybe some other cares of this life that hold them down or hold them back a little bit or slow them down. Not even hold them back. That's the wrong choice of word. But maybe slow them down this Christian race. Your mind's not on the things that maybe somebody else's mind is on. And those many times those weights can slow us down. And I'm not saying that because I begrudge my wife and my children. Don't misunderstand me this morning. I'm saying that those are cares that we have in this life. And the Bible said, if a man will not provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel. Amen. And so we have the family, and we ought to take care of them. But we ought to realize that our main servitude is unto the Lord. And so purifying ourselves, getting rid of those weights, and I'm not talking about getting rid of your wife and your children, but getting rid of those things that we can get rid of, because it might be that there are certain other things that they're not necessarily sin. There's not necessarily anything wrong with them, but because you're going to have to devote some attention to your wife and your children, maybe there's some other things that you can get rid of that will help you in service to God. Let me give you an example. I used to work 3 jobs. Try to pastor the church and take care of my family. Now the Lord has blessed me and helped me enough that I'm able to just work the 1 job and try to take care of my family, and I don't have a church to pastor. Amen. So I don't have the weights that I used to have. Those things were weights. You know, working 2 and 3 jobs all the time and always doing something extra was a weight. Amen. And the 1 job put weight on me. Say amen right there, Brother Steve. Amen. That pizza. Amen. But what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying so many times we allow weights to come in our lives that hinder us in doing what we could do for the Lord. And let me go. The sin. That's just so easily beset us. I believe that's that pet sin. And it could be sins, but the Bible said sin here. And I'm not going to get into discussions with you on that and argue with you about it. But he said the sin that does so easily beset us. And there is probably a particular sin, and you might not even, without really thinking about it, you might not even really be able to name it. But there's probably a particular sin in each and every one of our lives that is a hindrance. In other words, it besets us. And I kind of thought about this as maybe like a hurdle in a race. And, you know, there's maybe some low hurdles, but then you come to that tall one. And, you know, and you trip on it. And it besets you. It's not that you don't get back up and run some more, but it besets you. It sets you back for a little bit. It slows you down. It stops you maybe even for a time, short time. And there is a sin that does so easily beset us. And I've got scriptures here, of course, for text, and then James 1:21-27. I'm not going to take time to go there this morning. I ain't got the time to do it. But secondly, we ought to finish the course with patience. Amen. I believe Paul finished the course with patience. He's sitting down there in a jail cell and about to die. And, you know, he's sitting there and he writes to Timothy and said, bring me my cloak and my books, but especially the parchments. Amen. He said, do thy diligence to come to me shortly. In other words, you know, I want you to hurry up and get that stuff to me. And no doubt he wanted the fellowship of Timothy there. And I believe every preacher needs a Timothy. Amen. There ought to be somebody that can be an encouragement to the man of God. And he said, patience here, and I'm not going to take time to run to the scriptures, but Hebrews 12, of course, our text, he said he endured that cross, despising the shame. Jesus was patient on the cross. You know, he could have come down. He could have done anything he wanted to do. But he was patient in that suffering for you and me. Amen. And for sinners in general. He was patient to endure that cross, despise that shame. And we ought to be the same. Hebrews 10:36, James 1:1-4 talks about the trying of our patience. You know, that it works patience in us. Tribulations work in patience. And we ought to learn to be patient. And truly, that is a good example. Brother Hall has been a great example in being patient and helping us. Amen. And I thank God for it. Now, I know most people don't think I'm very patient, but I'm a whole lot more patient now than what I used to be. Amen. I thank God that tribulation has brought that patience. I haven't asked for the tribulation. I haven't asked for the patience. Amen. But I thank God He is helping us in our Christian life. Then I want to say last of all that there ought to be a purpose. I mean, not only in the finishing this course, there's going to have to be some purification and patience, but why do you want to finish the course? Is it to receive that prize? And why is it to receive that prize? And I'm going to take time to read these scriptures here for you this morning and give you a couple little thoughts about that. But there is a purpose to finish the course. You're going to have to purpose in your heart and in your physical body that you're going to finish this course. If you give up physically, you can forget about obtaining it spiritually. But there, on the other hand, you can't obtain it physically and not be striving spiritually. Amen. 1 Corinthians and chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse number 24. The Bible said here, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." Now here, I underlined this in my Bible and wrote this out to the side. Now hold on to this. "Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown." And that's something that's going to fade away. That's something that's going to be done away with. That's something that's only temporal. But notice what he said about ours. "But we, an incorruptible." And I wrote out here to the side of my Bible, I wrote "reward." Now I want to ask you something today. There is a purpose in running this race, and it is to receive the reward. But is it for you to get the glory? Or is it for one day when you stand before the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ that you cast that crown back at His feet? To worship and adore and glorify Him. I know physically here on this earth we can glorify the Lord in it. And I understand that. But I'm talking about receiving crowns from Him, amen, that He can give us if we're finishing this race right. We do this to obtain an incorruptible crown. Brethren, I don't know. I know there's times when God definitely blesses us here in this life. There's no doubt about that. But I'm not so sure that we're receiving the rewards according to the scriptures that God has intended for us in this life altogether. The Bible talks about laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And I believe there's going to be rewards that's going to be received in heaven that's not going to be received down here. And those rewards are going to be great and going to be glorious. And it's going to be things that we can offer back unto the Lord Jesus Christ as a sign of our adoration and worship unto Him to glorify Him there in heaven. I want to say, notice here, second of all, not only said that we receive an incorruptible, but "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air." And old Paul was in a warfare, wasn't he? He was battling, he was fighting. And he said, "I'm not one that beats the air." He said, "But I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Boy, I tell you, you're talking about breaking a man's heart. That scripture right there, if you let it get a hold of you, it'll break your heart. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, why are we running this race? And why should there be a purpose in our life to finish this race? It's so that we, after having preached, whether it be preacher preaching, or whether it be your witness and your testimony of your life before others, whatever it may be, we ought to finish this course that we may be that example to others, lest they, you know, fall, lest they come short because we become a castaway. I wonder how many people have said, "Well, if they didn't make it, ain't no way I can make it." I wonder how many people have gotten discouraged. And I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm just trying to say some things to make us think. But I wonder how many people have quit being 100% for God. It's not that they went back out into the world and became ungodly people and went back to drinking and all that kind of stuff and doing those ungodly deeds and all that, but they just lost their fervency for the Lord because somebody they knew and somebody they had a lot of respect unto fell out by the wayside. He said, I want to not be a castaway. I purpose to finish this course, lest I become a castaway. And if I become a castaway, how many more? I wonder how many people would have fell out by the wayside if Paul had become a castaway. Say, well, preacher, you can't say that because he didn't do it. Well, say what you want, but he said, lest I become a castaway. He said, I keep my body under subjection. Keep under my body. And bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, after having preached to others, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. We need to keep our body under subjection, don't we? And I put here that I don't want to be a castaway because I don't want to reproach the name of Christ. You know, if they say, well, Joel, he used to. He used to do this. He used to not do that. Yeah, it's a shame to us personally, but it's the fact that it's reproaching the name of Christ because they say, he says he was a preacher. He said he was saved. He said he loved the Lord. We need to be careful, brethren, lest we reproach the name of Christ. Finish the course. There's a purpose in it. Galatians 5:7 talks about how he was hindered. He said, you did run well. Who did hinder you? I'm not going to take time to go there. Acts chapter number 20, if you would, please. Acts chapter number 20. And verse number 24. He said, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Why did Paul want to finish right? So his testimony would be right. He wanted to testify of the grace of God. And brethren, we ought to want to finish our course right that may be a testimony unto others that the grace of God is sufficient no matter what we may be going through, no matter what may come our way, that the grace of God is sufficient for us to finish that race and finish it with joy. Amen. He said to finish that course with joy. And then in Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 14, I close out with that. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Amen. There is a mark. There is a prize to obtain. And that is so that we can honor the Lord in everything that He's done. Amen. And I thank God that we have that opportunity, brethren. God didn't just put us down here, save us, and then say, live like you want to, do as you want to, and everything's going to be all right when you get to heaven. He's given us a purpose in life. And that purpose is to finish that course that we might bring honor and glory unto His name. See, down here in running that race and finishing it that race right, we're bringing honor and glory to His name. When we get there, we receive the fruit of that reward to cast at His feet. We need to make sure that we've done everything that the Lord wants us to do. Christian charity, it will help you to endure. No matter what may come your way, He endured the cross. And it'll help you endure to finish that course. God bless you, preacher.